Nothing else going on here. Okay. So, Shavuot, everybody.
Maybe everyone else can.
Let's, no, everybody's coming. Everybody will be here in 5 minutes. No. We got this. You missed your own topic. That's right. So, let's go over based on the questions from last time. Okay. We'll start just with Kuf Tzadik. Kuf Tzadik says, in one sentence, describe the meaning of a ketef. What's a ketef? Like we said last week, literally, it's a stain. What's the most important thing? What is the difference between a ketem and what we would call a bdika or an eid? A bdika, like a proper bdika, versus a ketem. That's important to know. What's the difference? Exactly. The ketem just shows up. You weren't checking. She wasn't checking herself. She wasn't doing some kind of, like you said, a bdika. It didn't go. She didn't make an internal check. Right? That's a bdika is an internal check. Where she wants to see whether or not something's going on. A ketem is, she finds blood on a garment or on her body in the area where it might be nida. Okay? And what's the difference between them halachically? She finds something that looks like blood. What's the difference between them halachically? In terms of rama and severity. Right? Remember the Gemara that we learned? When a woman came to... was it Rabbi Akiva and said, I have a ketem. What did he tell her? What was the back and forth? Yeah, is there a possibility it came from somewhere else? No, well, I had a maka, but it healed itself. And he said, oh, but it might have come back. And he was mako. Why was he mako? He sees blood. The answer is because it's a ketem. And a ketem is only, we're only machmir on it, midara banan. In other words, midara raita, there's no concern. Why is there no concern? Because there was definitely no hargasha, because you didn't even know what happened, right? There's definitely no hargasha, huh? And it just showed up out of nowhere. There's by definition no hargasha. When there's no hargasha, it can't be nida daraita, unless it's obviously if it's a lot of blood, then it could be the flow. But that's unlikely that would happen, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a keter. You guys with me? Good. Okay, fine. What are the four things that would make a ketem nothing to worry about? In other words, there are four things that need to be there in order for the ketem to be a problem to begin with. Smaller than a gris. Gris or smaller. It has to be more than a gris. Some gris or smaller in order for it to be not a problem at all. Not a problem at all, then you could assume that it's a bug. That's the idea. Gris or smaller, what do you say? Right color. Okay, with that right color, it's not blood. Good, that's two. Has to be on something that's mekabel tum'ah, which we're going to talk about tonight. Has to be, oh, good, that's good. It has to be something that's white, so there are five things. There has to be something that's white. And number five, it couldn't have come from somewhere else. In other words, we have to establish that it came from the area of the makor. Right? It had to come from that area. Number four was, it has to be on something that's white, which we're going to talk about. We didn't talk about those two things. We talked about the first two things last time. We talked about the fact that it has to be large enough. We talked about how large that is. And we talked about the fact that it has to be the right color. We've talked about that a few times. But now, tonight, we're going to go forward. But first of all, let's say a woman counted 17 days, was getting ready for the mikvah, and she saw a few drops of blood on her thigh. Drops of blood on her thigh. Is she a nida? This is the last thing that we did last time. Okay? Drops of blood on her thigh. What would go into this this sock? Size.
Not on a white cloth.
Okay, so it's obviously not on a white cloth because it's on her body. But are you going to say that, oh, it's not a ketem just because of that?
I put the amount of drops altogether, see if they're the same.
Good. So if these drops, let's say, were not on her thigh, but they were drops on a piece of cloth, like underwear, white underwear, let's say, would that be a problem? Why? Okay, so if they're not touching, we don't add them together. And each one is a drop, right? What about drops, though, on a thought? Is that different? So we said, if you remember, those are the last thing that we did. We looked at two sifim in Shulchan Aruch, which are complicated. The first sifim, they're both Stam and Yesh Omrim. You remember this part? Stam and Yesh Omrim. I think it was Yud and, what was it? Vav and Chet. Vav and Chet? Vav and Chet. In Vav, the Shulchan Aruch mentions Stam. What happens if it's less than a gris on a thigh, on a body, on her body? So in that case, the Shulchan Aruch says, Stam says, it's still not a problem. In other words, you require more than a gris, even on the body. Whereas the Yesh Omrim says, no, if it's on the body, then even a drop, we're going to be machmir. And we said, what's the rule when you have a Stam and Yesh Omrim and Shulchan Aruch in general? We follow the Stam, follow the Stam. And so that's generally the psak. The Shach is machmir, and you can find Ashkenazi poskim or machmir, but the modern day Ashkenazi psak is to be makel on that shiloh. But then you get to Chet, and the Shulchan Aruch asks a similar question. What happens if you have a bunch of these little drops on the thigh? So then once again, you have the Stam that says that if you have little drops anywhere, if you have little drops anywhere, they're not mitzarev unless they're touching, right? And that's the Stam. And then the Yesh Omrim says, if it's on the thigh, if it's on a body, and you have a bunch of drops, then you're mitzarev them even if they're not touching. So now what do we do with that? So one might think, once again, you have Stam and Yesh Omrim. So we should be Mikkel, follow the Stam. But Rav Avadya and everybody else, all say it, Ashkenazi Pesach as well, all say, no, we're Machmir in this case. Why are we Machmir in this case? Stam and Yesh Omrim. It's the same Cheshbon as in Siv Vav, right? So he says, the Avni Tohar says that this is different because here, the Stam wasn't talking specifically about the case of where it was found on her body. It was just saying a general rule. If you find drops of blood, you're not mitzareif then. He wasn't specifically talking about when it's on the body. Only the Yesh Omrim is talking about that specific case. So Rav Avadya says, you can't use the rule of Stam and Yesh Omrim here because they're not intentional. There's no clash between the Stam and the Yesh Omrim. Only in Vav, there's a direct clash. In Vav, the Stam says it's Mutter, and the Yesh Omrim says it's Usser, about the same case. But here, it's not the same case. It was just a general case in the Stam, and it's a specific case in the Yesh Omrim. Bottom line. If you have drops on a beged that are smaller than a gris, and they're not touching. But if you put them together, they'd be larger than a gris. What's the halakha? We don't mitzarif them. If they were touching, then it would be one blob, and then you would mitzarif them. If it was more than a gris, you'd be machmir. What happens if you have drops, a drop on the thigh? Find one drop on the thigh. What's the halakha? We're generally makel. You find Ashkenazi achronim or machmir. The Shach, the Rosh Hashulchan, but we generally make a lot of that. But what if there are several drops on the thigh? We follow the Yesh Omrim and the Shulchan Aruch, and we're Machmir. That's across the board. Okay? That's where we left off. Any questions about that before we continue? Okay, good. Next question that we wondered about was a woman spotted many times during Shiva Nikiyim, such that each stain was less than the gris, but together they were much, spotted many times on the same pair of undergarments, such that each stain was less than a gris, but together they were much greater than a gris. So it's a lot of drops on the beged. So this is what we just dealt with. We're going to be? Bacon. Good. Okay, good. Now we have this one. Martin was interested in this one. A woman calls up the local rabbi and says, I spotted during my Shiva Nikiyim, and I was not sure if it was larger than the size of the gris or not, and I wanted to bring it over, but the cleaning lady threw it away. So there was a ketem, but now we don't have it anymore. Right. This is the last thing that we mentioned last time. What do we say about this? Mekel. Don, why are we Mekel? So? The ketem is only Darabanan. So there's no reason to be. What do you have here? You have no Hargasha. And you have a ketem that disappeared. So you have nothing to go on. That was the last thing we mentioned last time. It was in, it's in source number, what'd you say? 11. It's in source 11. Oh, on the wrong page. Okay. It's in source 11. Thank you. Okay. So picking up from there, that's the Chachmas Adam mentioned in number 11. Let's ask a few more questions and then we'll keep going. What is the halacha with respect to a kesem that is the size of a gris or less in diameter, but is very thick? Okay, so you have a dollop. You have a dollop of blood on the beged, and it's like thick, but it's small. So do you evaluate the volume of the blood, or is it just the area? Like, is it two-dimensional or is it three-dimensional?
Just the area.
You think just the area. Does that make any sense, though? Because, I mean, there's a lot of blood there. It could be like, I don't know how thick it could possibly be, but it could be more, right? You still think just the area. Okay, let's see. Let's say this one. A woman sees a ketan that is slightly bigger than the size of a gris on a pad. Okay, a pad is a piece of basically of plastic with some stuffing. We're talking about basically a liner that you put on underwear, right? It's not a tampon. It's a liner that you put on underwear.
Isn't this the same question?
Why? Now, this is a, she finds something that's bigger than a gris.
Layered, so that if you're saying that it's layered, then it would be absorbed. Right? The volume would be absorbed downward.
Fine. Let's say it's physically bigger, though. Let's say that it's actually larger than a gris. Okay, so Mike says it's not going to be the Makabel Tumma, so then we're going to ignore it. Why is it not going to be the Makabel Tumma? All synthetic things don't Makabel Tumma? Is that true? Let me give you an example of something that's synthetic. A plastic bowl. Is a plastic bowl Makabel Tumma? It's a good question, no? Is a plastic bowl Makabel Tumma? Could you make your schach out of, okay, well, actually, no, here, let me ask you this one. Can you, okay, is wood Makabel Tumma in general? Is wood Makabel Tumma? A beam of wood, you cut down a tree and then you slice it into pieces. Is that wood going to be Makabel Tumma? Herbie says no, Herbie is correct. But what if you take that wood and you shape it into a bowl or a chair or a bookcase? This is the famous Shaila on Sukkot, yeah? You take a bookcase and you chop it up to pieces and then you want to use that as schach. Are you allowed to do that? So if it's still called a kli, this is the rule. If something is a kli, it's always Makabel Tumma, no matter what material it is. If something is a kli, it's always Makabel Tumma, no matter what material it is. It doesn't matter whether it's synthetic or whether it came from the ground, it doesn't matter. As long as it's a kli, it's Makabel Tumma.
You have to
ask the pad with the kli. So let's figure that out, right? Okay. If a board is cut to a specific size, no. Okay, true story. Women text ask the rabbis women at WhatsApp group. That's too long of a title. That wouldn't fit on WhatsApp group. I just spotted greater than, that's how you know this is not true. I just spotted greater than a gris on the toilet of an airplane. Toilet of an airplane. She went to the bathroom in an airplane, and then she found afterwards that there was blood on the side of the toilet, right? On a whatever it's made out of, plastic. Am I a nida? Yeah.
What difference does it make this is not an animal?
That's a good point. That's a good question. It's an excellent question. It's very important that she's on the airplane. Let's just put it down. That's actually, I think that's actually a point that you guys are making that I don't think is sufficiently covered over here. You're making a great point. But that's not the reason why it's important that it's on the airplane. Okay, good. We'll get to it. This happens to almost every woman at least once in her life. They see blood. Okay, they see blood on the tissue or toilet paper that they use to wipe themselves after going to the bathroom. Does that make her any death, right? Okay, which is? So you're saying no because it's a tissue, it's not a Makabel Tumma. Okay, so let's see if that's correct. We'll see if that's correct. A woman spotted on colored undergarments and then a white bedikah cloth that was on the counter fell onto the stain. Disastrous. The bedikah cloth now contains a red stain greater than the size of a gris. Okay, so the white bedikah cloth. Okay? The blood was on the underwear, and then the white bedikah cloth fell on it, and it was so much blood that it was on colored underwear, and then the bidik cloth got basically a gris worth of blood on the bidik cloth. But it didn't come from her, meaning it didn't come directly from her to the bidik cloth. It went through the underpants.
Yeah, but that's like you know it came from there. So it's,
okay.
It went to the next.
So you say, yeah, problem.
Okay. Cliche.
Cliche. I like it. Okay. All right. Let's we'll let that hang out there. All right. Two more questions. A woman spotted on checkered undergarments. Checkered meaning that the color is basically red, white, red, white, red, white. Imagine in a checker, what's it called? Pattern. Yes. And by the way, this is not a new question. This is covered by like early Achronim. So just textiles. Obviously, they had checkered underwear in the 17th century. What? What? All right. Okay. So let's say there was. Let's say that there was blood on that on those checkered undergarments that was bigger than a gris, but obviously it goes over the white and the colored part of the undergarments. So can you combine all of that blood together? Do you count only on the whites? What do you do with that? How do you treat that? In other words, there's blood on both colored and white part of the underground. Yes. Do we ignore the stuff on the red? Do we count only? What do we do? Ignore the stuff on the red. So
why?
But what if there's enough blood that there's like if you combine the white on one square with the white in the other square, then that's a gris. But they're separated by the red. Which if they had been physically separated by empty space, then you wouldn't combine them. But there is liquid in between. There's red liquid in between. So do you see them as two separate grisim or one?
It seems you can actually make it as often as possible.
Okay. So you want to be makeup because we're generally named this Dorabanan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because whether you count the red, it doesn't really matter. The point is there is an element of continuity between a white square and a white square.
Okay.
There's a red square in between, you don't count that blood.
Okay. But you don't want to count the red square in between, even though you can see. Okay. Okay. All right. Here's the last question. Another true story. A woman is at work when her boss calls her in for a meeting. She looks at her watch and realizes that since it's the winter time, it's already a few minutes before Shkia, she needs to perform the bedikah. She has a meeting, she needs to perform bedikah. She runs to the bathroom, quickly performs the bedikah. This is a bedikah, not a ketem. And then without looking at it, places in her purse. When she gets home, she finds a small red circle on the cloth. Does that red spot render her anita? I kind of swallowed up the part that was important. It's a bedika. Right. Right. So what could possibly make us be makel in this situation? So I'm going to read the end part of it. I'm going to read the end part of it. She runs to the bathroom, quickly performs a bedikah, and without looking at it, places it in her purse. When she gets home, she finds a small red circle on the cloth. Does the red spot render her anita? Enough time. Right. Interesting. So what happens if there's something else in the purse that could be responsible for the red dot? So is there room to be makel for something like that?
Something else that works about the concept of red dot?
Yeah.
Lipstick.
Like lipstick, red lipstick.
Red
cosmetics, who knows? Anything. Or alternatively, I'm kind of blowing it here, any other substance that could have possibly maybe changed the color or changed the nature of the red spot, right? Anything, any material, chemical that could have possibly done anything to it. What could she do to prevent this? You know, obviously, you have to do something with the bedika, right? So what could she possibly do to prevent something? Put in something to protect it, right? Well, even if she had looked, though, even if she had looked, she could have said, oh, I don't know what this is. I'm not sure. And then put it in the bag and she'd have the same problem, right? All right, let's learn. So there was There was one thing that we skipped over before the Chachmas Adam that we read last time. The Chachmas Adam was the one who says that if it gets lost, she's not a Nida. So there's a Rabbi Akiva Eger. If you can open up your Shulchan Aruch, in Kuf Tzadik, in the Chidush Rabbi Akiva Eger, at the beginning of Kuf Tzadik, so he has one comment over there. And we're actually going to do the entire comment. It's going to be interesting to us, but we're only looking at the end of it right now.
What
so
it,
Kuf Tzadik, Chidush Rabbi Akiva Eger. Okay? You should have a Chidush Rabbi Akiva Eger on Sif Aleph. Sif Yud, sorry. Oh, Sif Yud. I'm sorry, I didn't make that clear. Kuf Tzadik, Sif Yud. Rabbi Akiva Eger. Okay? So we're not going to read the beginning of it. We're going to start with Bechein. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, Bechein Imrata. Okay. Yeah, here we go. Kuf Tzadik is the siman. Is the siman?
Yud is the seed.
So yeah, Rabbi Akiva Eger. So if you look at the part of the parentheses at the end, we're going to read the part before the parentheses soon. But in the parentheses it says, "V'chein imrata ketem lavan u'b'shnei k'sotav mar'eh edom." What happens if you see?
We don't have parentheses.
You also don't have parentheses? But we have the same one. That's weird. Okay. V'chein imra'ata ketem lavan u'b'shnei k'sotav mar'eh edom. Halavan mitzarfan laha edom shiya ketem echad v'miyesh be'edom yachad shiya ketem tmei'a. What's he dealing with? What happened over here? No, it's not the checkered. The checkered is what came before. No, it's not. The checkered is what came before. I didn't read the part with the checkered. I skipped it on purpose. We're only reading the second half. What? So no, it's not a space though. What is it? You have this is a ketem, okay? And on the ketem, you see that there's two red spots in two different places on the ketem. Okay, and then there's white liquid. There's a white discharge in between, connecting them. Okay, in other words, you have two half grease red spots, and then there is white discharge in between them. Look, anything can come out. That's why we look at the ketem and try to determine the color. A lot of things can come out of the body. Different kinds of fluids come out of the body. That's why you look at the color. It could be yellow, it could be white, it could be anything. So you have two red spots and then white discharge connecting them. Does that count as one ketem? Or is it two red spots and you just look at the two red spots, and since they're not connected to each other directly, we can be makel. So what does he say? He says you have to consider them together. Mitzarfan la'adom. In other words, if there's one discharge, one liquid discharge, and there's enough red in that discharge to be a grease, then you have to be machmir. More than this. Right, it's connected to that. Yeah, it's connected to that. The only question over here he's dealing with is if you don't have the reds technically connected, but they are connected by the fluid that came out, then we consider it one. Basically, what he's saying is that that's considered one discharge, and there's enough red in there. Whereas if it would be two separate red dots, not connected by anything, it would be two separate discharges. That's how we would see it. Okay? That was just something small, but we're going to get back to the beginning of the Rabbi Akiva Eger soon, the checkered business.
Well, there's no reference to the two blood spots.
If they wouldn't, then we wouldn't have a question. That's why he says, "In yesh ba'adom yachad shir ketem tmea." If together the two reds are shir ketem, that's a grease, then we would be machmir. Okay. Finishing up this section on sizes, take a look at source number 12. This is the thick stain. Source number 12, the Avnei Tohar. Avnei Torah says, Ubir, I don't know what that is. Something. Al kach pirshu acharonim mitam sheyadua shelo kol adamim shavim b'mizgam. Yeshu av v'samich v'teichaf nikrash v'yeshu dak v'charif v'shotet v'over ad makom koach yuto la'avor. Sometimes it's thick and it becomes congealed. Sometimes it's thin and it becomes spread out. V'lo shamanu v'tiber abateinu chiyuv l'shar obi v'ol mekaketa. We don't have a shear for thickness. We don't have it. Elo orkov rochov l'vav. We don't have a volume shear. We only have an area shear. That's all we have. What are we going to do? We'll assume that we're just going to apply only the shear that we have, and that's the shear of an area. So even if you have a very thick, congealed spot of blood, and it's like 99% of a gris, and you know that it's basically the same amount of blood as a gris and a half, let's say, doesn't matter. We can remake them. It only goes by area. That's what the Avnei Torah says. Because in general, we don't go more machmir than what we already have by ketamim. Okay, now here's these pikayun questions, I guess. The Pitchei Tshuva in Tet Zayin, you don't have to look at it, but the Pitchei Tshuva in Tet Zayin, he quotes the Binat Adam. It's a long piece, so we don't have to look at it inside. Basically, he says, imagine that you're the rabbi, and you get from the woman, you get a ketam, let's say a pair of underwear, right? And it gets to you, underwear won't work so well, but you get something where it's folded and the ketam is, it's hard to describe. Basically, imagine like this. You get something like this, and there's a ketam going across the middle of it, but then you go like this, and you notice, they're totally separated, right? So do you look at it as the two pieces are together, and it's, let's say, a gris, or is it two half greasing? It's a folded piece. So you don't know. So the Pitchei Tshuva says, who says, if these pieces are not sewn together, you could be make them. It's two separate ketamim. If they're sewn together, then fine. Then you view it as one ketam. But if you can pull it apart, then it's two ketamim. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees. The Aruch HaShulchan in Seif Lamed Chet, you don't have it. Seif Lamed Chet in the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, no, you just got to use your Sefer Ayashar. If it's evident that the drop fell at one time, whatever it was, it fell on one time, like it's easy, right? It's like a puzzle piece. If you look at it and you see that the two sides line up together, then it's obvious that the ketam fell on two sides of the beged when it was folded. Then you have to evaluate it together. But if it's not obvious that that happened, like there's a little bit more on one side, and you know what I mean? Then you can treat it as two ketamim. So it's a little bit of a machlokes about how make it we can be over here. The Bina Adam basically just says we can make it all the way. The Aruch HaShulchan says that we have to use our seichel. And in source 13, the Shevet HaLevi of Rav Vosner, Zatzal, says, Shchiach ma'od, shehabeged hatachton naaseh harigat slot slot. Sometimes they fold over, they're ribbed, I guess. I think what he's describing is this. Underwear, right? Yeah. Underwear can sometimes get bunched up. You think it's the basket?
Bunched up. Where you pull, if you bunched up.
No, but that would be the opposite. Huh? That would be the opposite. Then it would end up. Yeah, but...
You have two or three layers of no. I'm not saying it's
folded. It could be. I thought it was bunched up. I thought it's just bunched up. It gets bunched up and when you open it.
When you
I know, but I don't the elastic. No, but look, he says, Yatan Kavetz. Kavetz means that.
Kavetz is an elastic.
Yeah, but no, but then you wouldn't have any folds with elastic. You don't have any folds.
If it's folded, the elastic is like.
But that wouldn't happen on the body. In the body, the elastic would be pulled apart. I don't think so. I don't think so. Either way, you get the principle we get. Yeshef Sek Ben Chalkea Katam Ben Shirah Ben Makom Echad. He says at the end,
Maybe
Shimon the Levi says we have to be machmir. He says if you can't tell, then you have to actually treat it as if it was one keta. If it comes to you folded up like that, then you have to treat it as one keta. So he's the most machmir on this question.
What's the left number?
This is the way it arrived. So you don't know what originally happens. You only have this. What?
The first
keta
is zero.
Yeah, but it arrived to you connected, and the possibility that they were connected when the ketan fell on it. There's a strong possibility that they were connected when the ketan fell on it. That's why it's all together. It's true that in most cases, it's most likely that they're connected and you don't have two spots on opposite sides of the bag. It's the most likely thing that happens, what he's saying. Okay, that's it for sizes and for the integrity, I guess you would say, of the ketan. Now we move on to...
If it was next to the
hole, that's a good question. Meaning, you don't know if something came out. That's a great question. You only have what you have. So, you only have what you have. It's a good question. All right, let's do. Now we're moving on to Makabel Tuma. Okay, say again. I think it makes sense to go with the Aruch HaShulchan because he's just saying, use your seichel. Like, what does it look like? But it's good for that. Okay. Mekabel Tuma. So this is the I think the third principle by Tamim. Okay? So where does it come from? Because it's kind of weird, no? It's kind of weird. Like, why is that a requirement? Anybody want to try to take a stab at it? Why would you require that the ketem has to be on something that's Mekabel Tuma? Seems random.
Because if the blood didn't make the surface come in. And
why are we talking about
the blood is coming. Yeah. It's found in the material.
So, but are you using the word tummy right over here? Meaning, are you saying the word tummy like the classic, like tuma and tara?
Yeah.
Okay, but why are we talking about that? We're talking about nida. Oh. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Mishnah Nida says, Gimel Nashim Shalav Shuch is source 14, sorry. Gimel Nashim Shalav Shuch Haluk Echad or Sheyashmel Safsal Echad Benim Salav Dam Kulan Tmeil. Three women who sit on the same Safsal and then blood is found on, since we don't know whose it is, so they're all Tmeil. Yashmu Al Safsal Shal Eden or Itzdaba Shal Merchatz, if they sat on a stone chair, that's what it just says right now. Then Rabbi Nechemiah Betayer, Shaya Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, called the Rashina Makabel Tuma, Eino Makabel Ktamim. Rabbi Nechemiah comes up with this rule. He says, if the blood was found on a stone chair, which basically just stone, okay, just a stone seat, then it's not Makabel Tuma, and the women are all going to be Taharot, because the Ktamim are only relevant when it's mekabel tuma. The Rashi, Rabbi Chiya bar Amar, no mishmei Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Nechemiah. We pass it this way. The halacha is Rabbi Nechemiah. We require that the surface on which you find the ketan be mekabel tuma.
What's formed into a bench?
Pretty sure we're talking about a stone, that's just a stone that people sit on. So. It's the bath. Oh, well, it's two different things. I don't think it was.
It was made into a bench. Not just a plain rock sitting around.
I'm not totally sure. But one way or another, this stone thing is not a Makabel Tuma. That's clear from the Gemara. It's not Makabel Tuma from, and therefore it's going to be. No, it could be that they sat one after the other. One way or another, we see from here, we follow Rabbi Nechemiah, that there's no Gzer of Tamim when you're talking about something that's not Makabel Tuma. Why? Anybody want to try? Why? So the truth is, we've already seen this. We already know why, but you've forgotten. It's the Chatam Sofer that we learned last time, and we're going to learn it again through the Ran. The Chiddush Haran, source number 15. Hai taima mishum de bedavar v'kabel tuma kevan shema shenimtza ala v'ketem tamei gazur barabanan kidei sholei abo letahir habegin avak shenimtza bedavar shenu v'kabel tuma lo gazur ala isha klal. Why did the Chachamim make the gzera of Chatamim at all? You remember? The Chatam Sofer told us this. Why did the rabbis say that we're going to be machmir for Chatamim? The Torah says that there's no nida unless there's haragasha. But we're going to be machmir if you find blood on something. Why did they say that? The Chatam Sofer said, last time that we learned, he said, they didn't do that for the isur of nida laba'ala, or what we're interested in. The original reason for the gzera was to protect things from becoming tamei. That was the real reason. That was the real reason for it. So, close. So, if the real reason for the gzeira of tamim is to protect things from becoming tamei, then it makes a lot of sense that the ketem is not going to be a ketem if it's on something that's not mekabel tuma. Because there's no reason that the rabbis didn't make a gzera when that blood is found on something that's not mekabel tuma, because it can't be a, create a problem. Nothing to do with the mishpat. We're worried about this blood being touched or touching something that will make it tamei. Anything coming in top contact with this blood, or somebody sitting on the on a chair that this blood was on, will become tamei, and will be tamei other things. So the rabbis made a gzera that's what it does. We have to be concerned for this ketem. But if it fell on a rock, then the rabbis had no concern, because the rock won't be matame anything. It's not makabel tuma. No. The blood. That's what we're worried about. It's a set way. It ends up being both, but that's what we're worried about. The rabbis made the gzera for that. The rabbis made the gzera for that. She got lucky, yeah. If it fell on something that's makabel tuma, then there's no gzera. Right. So the Chatam, that's what the Chatam Sofer said. That's what he said. He said, once they did it for that, then they said, well, we can't just do it halfway. We can't say that, oh, this is Nida blood, and we have to be concerned for that, and then say that she's not a Nida Labala. We can't do that. So they were forced to do it that way. That's what the Chatam Sofer said last time, which is why we're so willing to be Megal. Remember in what context the Chatam Sofer brought that up? Remember last time? He brought that in the context of, why are we Megal for a Gris anymore? If we don't have these bugs, they're not so prevalent anymore. How can we be Megal? How can we say that, oh, it has to be at least a Gris in order for us to treat it as a ketem? We don't really think that it's a bug that made the blood there. So he said, yes, that's true. But since anyways, this whole gzera was not really for tumas nida, lebala, wasn't for the isur of nida, it was really for the tuma. So we're not going to be more machmir than the rabbis were originally. So here is another case. Even in that time, they were not more machmir than they needed to be for the tuma aspect. That's what the Ran is saying. The Ran is saying that there was no reason to make the gzera for objects that were not makabel tuma, so they didn't. And that continues to today. It just looks strange now because the tuma aspect has been removed, but it still applies to the gzera itself. That's why there was that requirement. Is that clear to everybody? Yes? Clear? That's why it has to fall on something to makabel tuma. It makes perfect sense. It's in the business world, we have historical reasons. Yes? Why do we do it that way? Historical reasons. This is historical reasons. That's the way legal things work sometimes. We can't get rid of the gezerah itself of tamim, but we can grab all of its kulas. And this kula existed in the original gezerah. This kula existed when the gezerah was enacted.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
There's not any stuff that the cover for the
everything. But we're not getting rid of
the gzera allowed us to be made.
Yeah. The gzera, well, the knowledge.
Think about getting rid of the gzera to be more made.
No, what do you mean? If we got rid of the gzera, we would be much more makel. We would just ignore all tamim. No. If we write it, if we had our druthers, the Chatam Sofer says, we just get rid of the Gzera. Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying from our perspective, the Gzera makes a lot of sense. Right? But the Chatam Sofer and the writer is saying, yeah, but that's not why they made it. They wouldn't have made it only for, the Chatam Sofer says they wouldn't have made it if not for Tumah. They wouldn't have made it for the Isser of Nidah Labala. They wouldn't have done that. We don't have a Beit Din to get rid of it. If we had a Beit Din, maybe we'd get rid of it. But if we had a Beit Din, we'd probably have Tumah and Tara. So. Okay.
What does the status of the woman do? She has a Beit Din. Is she Tmeah?
She's going to be Tmeah because of the Gzera of Tamim.
Right.
Midah Rabbanan, she's going to be Tmeah. Oh, which brings me to what I just sent out on the WhatsApp. Yes.
She's going to be Tmeah. Where do I heard being Tmeah? Head touching the modern master.
It's more about that wasn't the reason for the Gzera, though. The reason for the Gzera was a concern that if the blood is Nida blood, right, then it's going to rimatame an object, and then that object is going to be flying all over the place. And that was the original idea. Did you guys see the thing I've sent out on the WhatsApp? It was relevant to this. The Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says, wait a second. If Ketamim is only Midrabanan, right? We don't really treat her as a Nida, she's not really a Nida Daraita. She goes to the mikvah at the end of this process, right? And what does she say? Alex Fila? I don't actually know. Alex Fila, we'll have to ask. I think it's Alex Fila. But it's how can you say Asher Ki Nishanu? If we had converts, then we would know. What? I'll feel like it. So, how can she say Asher Ki Nishanu with Mitzvotav? It's only Midah Rabbanan that she has to go to the mikvah. Truth is, it's kind of a obvious question, but he actually, in this context, he says, well, we say that on Hanukkah candles, and on Megillah, and on Netilat Yadayim, and on a lot of things. But that was, I thought it was interesting that he brought it up, and it was a good point that he was making, that even though it's only Durabanan, and it is only, it means that her tefillah in the Ketamim case is only a tefillah midurabanan. It's only required midurabanan. If she actually had a period, then it would be required midaraita. But if it's only a ketam, then it would be required midurabanan. And actually, in that context, he also wondered, here's very interesting, in light of what we learned last week, he also wondered, this is not in the sources, he also wondered, there is a big chumra by the ketamim, which is this. If a woman sees a ketam, she keeps all the regular rule. And the ketam is tamei. Basically, goes to the rabbi and he says, it's bigger than the grease, it's red, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When does she go to the mikvah? She does the same thing she does normally, right? However many days she waits, then she does a hafsek tara, and then she has to have shiva nekiyim, right? Thing is, that makes no sense. Because why does she have to wait shiva nekiyim? Why do we require women? Why do they start? Well, why are women doing shiva nekiyim? We said that midaraita, they don't have to do shiva nekiyim for nida, right? So why do we do shiva nekiyim? Because it might be ziva blood, right? It might be ziva blood, correct? Here's the thing. The ketem is only a little bit of blood, and it was only once. So even if it was ziva, she should be just shomer yom keneged yom. Right? I know, but I'm saying, I might be losing some of you. I'm saying, if you follow all the threads over here, there's no way that this would make her a Zava. There's no way this would make her a Zava Gdola, for sure. So why does she have to keep Shiva Nekiyim? At worst, it's going to be Nida. So in the end, he says, no, once they made the Ketam, they treated it the same. Fine. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Confused more than I explained. Fine. If you look at the Aruch HaShulchan that I sent, then you can look at it. Yes, that's what he says. That's what he says. Says we keep it simple. Yeah, we keep it simple. Yeah. Okay. So how do we paskin this way? So to find out if we paskin this way, we open up the Shulchan Aruch, Seif Yud. Shulchan Aruch, Seif Yud. Ketem shenimza al davar sheino mekabel tumah. Lo gazru, lo gazru. If a ketam is found on something that's not a kabel tuma, there's no gzera. Ketzad, for example, batka karka olam, on the floor. Blood was found, mamash, on the ground. Or, the Rama says, beta kisei, shenu makabel tuma. Or if it was found on a toilet, that's not makabel tuma. Why is the toilet not makabel tuma? Because it's attached to the ground. It's attached to the ground. So that's not going to be makabel tuma. Therefore, the gzera doesn't apply. Oh, hold over shenu makabel tuma v'yashvala v'matzah b'ketem, or anything she sat on. V'ketem shenimsa al beged sabua t'mora. Okay, we didn't get to that yet. Also, if it's colored, it's also not. It's going to be tohara. We'll get to that soon. V'chach tilba shayisha b'gdei tzimonim k'di latzila mektamim. Again, we're going to get back to that soon. Okay. So over there, you see that the Shulchan Aruch passing is like Rabbi Nechemya. The Shach in Seif Tadvav just says, take a look at the Rambam to find out what things are Mekabel Tuma, what materials automatically are Mekabel Tuma, what materials are not. And that's in source number 16. Shiva b'nei kelim en shemekablim tuma min haTorah ve'elohed habagadim asakin uplei or uplei etzem uplei matecha uplei etz uplei cheres. So it could be that I was mistaken before. It's not any material. Not any material that's going to be Mekabel Tuma. It's made into a kli. Here he gives you the materials. Clay, all these kelim. Including begadim, though. And begadim could be made out of synthetic materials also. Okay. So all those are Mekabel Tuma.
The stone bench
because it's stone. Yeah. Anyways, it's going to be karka olam. Okay. Well, it's going to bring us to the toilet and airplane. Yeah. We're going to get there. We're going to get there very soon. What? Cotton should. So that's a machloka. It's a machloka whether it includes synthetic materials. We generally are machloka for synthetic materials. And also, by the way, there's another subject, which is the Rambam only listed the things that are makabel tuma midoraita. But there are other materials that are makabel tuma midorabanan. So are those considered? Are we machmir for those? So generally, the Ashkenazi Akronim say, yes, we are machmir for those. I saw that Rav Avadya thinks that we can be makam. I don't know that, whether that's across the board for Sfaradim, but Ashkenazim generally are machmir on it. Okay, so now we get into the important stuff. So we'll start with the most important probably, which is pads. Okay, so like I said before, a pad is this thing that you're going to attach to, a woman attaches to her underwear when she assumes that something is going to, there's going to be a discharge. And then she finds blood on this pad. Not on the underwear, because that's going to be makabel tuma. It's a separate question. But it's on this pad, which is made out of paper and some stuff, like stuffing, absorbent material. So in source number 17, we have the Marakoin. This is Rav Rubin, who says, Yesh shesamot k'neged otan makom min tachboshet amukhra pad. Some kind of tachboshet is actually a bandage, but not a bandage, so whatever. Piece of material. V'dat g'dole ha'ora l'achmir v'ketem animsa ala pad. So without much explanation, he just says that Gedolei Achronim, he's talking about Rav Osner and Rav Nissim Karelitz, Gedolei Aposkim say, we treat it as something that's Mekabel, like something is Mekabel Tumah. Now, is he saying that it is Mekabel Tumah? Or is he saying that even though it's not Mekabel Tumah, we treat it that way? What does he say? It's not clear, right? It's not totally clear. He just says, the Gedolei Yisrael are Machmir. Kedin, does that mean that it is? Or does that mean that we just treat it like it is? Okay, so now the question becomes, why do we treat it like it is? So, shlav number two, source 18, Shirei Tara. Hinei le'el nitba'er mi'asidrei Tara, shim oseh beit kibul mi'aniyar, achein mekabel tuma. He says, if you make a kli, basically, you make some kind of bowl out of paper, that is going to be mekabel tuma. Yes? You make some kind of paper bowl, like milk carton, I guess, then that is mekabel tuma. How does the pad work? The pad, the designers of the pad didn't make it that the blood is, or whatever, discharge, anything, gets onto the paper part of the pad. The paper part of the pad is on the stuff, that, the part that touches the underwear. right? But on top of the paper is this absorbent material, like a diaper, right? There's this absorbent material. I don't know what it's made out of. Okay? So he says, what? Plastic, probably, yeah. So some of it, the discharge will get onto the absorbent part, and some of it will end up on the paper part of the pad. So he says the paper part of the pad, that's a kli. So it's mekabel tuma. So he made it into a kli. So you have two approaches to be machmir. One approach is just to say, we're machmir on pads. Okay. Approach number two is to say, we're machmir on pads, but for a reason. Because the paper is mekabel tuma. The thing with the second one is, it would seem that it would only be on the paper part, right? Not on the plastic absorbent material, because that's not going to be something that's a pleat. So you'd have to rip it apart, which there are poskim who are machmir for this. We'll rip apart the pad to see if there's any blood on the paper underneath. I've seen this. What? It's because it's there to hold the absorbent material, which is the thing doing the big job. That's why. It's a Beit Kibul. What? Well, the absorbent material is not a kli. No, just because it's doing a function doesn't make it into a kli. It's not a Beit Kibul. It's a sponge. It's a sponge, a kli. Sponge is not a kli. Sponge not. That doesn't fit the terms of Beit Kibul.
Something that gets thrown out after one use.
Oh, okay. So that's a fair question. Hilchos Shabbos question more. It's more of a Hilchos Shabbos question though. Just because something gets thrown out doesn't necessarily make it not a clear, although it might. Okay. So those are the machmir opinions. Comes along. Oh, here's a third way, or at least a second explanation for it. The Mishnah Halakha, this is not in the sources. Mishnah Halakha says it actually causes nida for a different reason. This is a reasonable one. It says, once the woman attaches the pad to the underwear, how does she attach it? She sticks it on, right? And then it's got an adhesive, right? So it basically, what happens to it? It becomes part of the underwear. That's what the Mishnah Halakha says. It becomes part of the underwear, becomes buckle to the underwear. It's now part of the larger underwear object. So those are two basically logical reasons to be machmir. One, that you treat the paper as some kind of Beit Kibul. Two, that you treat the entire pad as batel to the underwear. Two arguments. Comes along the Machze Eliyahu. Machze Eliyahu, I can't remember his last name, but he wrote the Sefer Oz V'Hadar Levusha, which is a notorious Sefer we'll talk about another time. But he wrote the Machze Eliyahu, and over here, he disagrees. Dvarav bazet muim tuvalani odaiki, source number 19. Says this whole thing is very surprising. The kind eno atifa mulaat homer. This is not like a wrapping filled with a substance. Ela hapad kulo bein achilek hafitzon bein apnimi mishamesh kekli habole adam. That the whole thing acts together. It's not two materials, one containing the other. So he rejects the argument of the Shirei Tala. Second, that because it's attached to it for many hours, then it's batel. It's a very weak connection between the pad and the underpants. It's just there for a short amount of time. You just rip it off afterwards. It's no better than attaching something with a safety pin. Which nobody would say creates the kind of connection that you would call it batel. So, for whatever reason, the Max Eliyahu says, I'm not concerned for either of these. I don't think that it's a Beit Kibul, and I don't think that it becomes Batel. Therefore, we can be Makel on the pad. Okay? Those are the two arguments. Rav Avadya is Makel, Rav Asher Weiss is Makel, and YU is Makel. Rav Avadya is Makel, and the Kvato, most of the Rosh Yeshiva are Makel on pads. So, Kol HaKavod to the Mari Kohen about the Gedolei Yisrael. There are many Gedolei Yisrael who were Makel on the pads. Now, it's actually very important to notice Because as we're about to get into, you know, you have colored underwear will create a situation where a ketem won't be a problem, right? But very often you'll have women who have fertility issues. One of the reasons for the fertility issue is that they begin to ovulate very shortly after their period, right? So they ovulate while they're still doing Shemini Kim. And what happens is that they actually have spotting from ovulation during, if I'm getting that right, but basically they have spotting during the Shemini Kim. That's not menstruation, but it's spotting. And it would cause a problem. It would cause an issue. So what are you going to do about that, right? You know it's not menstruation, but it's spotting. What are you going to do about it? What can you do? So one option is to wear a pad, and the other option is to have colored underwear, right? What's the benefit of colored underwear? If it's colored underwear, then you can be vatel the ketem, right? It's a trick, but it's a trick that's necessary. If you know that it's not menstruation, then it's good, right? The other option is to use the pad. There's one way in which the pad is going to be better than the colored underwear, and it's counterintuitive. Why would that be? Well, if you have the colored underwear, right? Let's say you have a situation where it's a lot of blood that came out, or a lot of discharge that came out, let's say. Okay, so you have a valid reason for thinking that there really was some kind of real discharge. Or maybe she even had, maybe we'll do it even better. Maybe she even had a hargasha. She had a hargasha, she finds something. She had a hargasha and she finds out the colored underwear. What are you going to do? As a rabbi, what do you do? Well, she had a hargasha. Whatever it is, doesn't matter why, she had a hargasha. Yeah, during a Shemini Kim. She should be Nida, right? What's the only way that we can get her out of being a Nida? Well, there were four requirements. There were four ways of getting her out of Nida, right? Four requirements for a Nida Daraita. One was Hargasha. No. For if there was a Hargasha, then we don't care about sons. We don't care about sons. Even if people don't decide that way. It has to come from the right prop. Well, she had a Tichat HaKever because it seems to have come from, right? So there's one way to get out of it. That's if you can look at it and say, wait, that's not the right color. And the problem is, if you have colored underwear, you can't do that. So it actually shoots you in the foot if you have colored underwear. Whereas if you have a pad and you caught it in the pad, then you could actually examine it and say, wait, that's not the right color or something else. Okay? So in that way, it would be recommended for a woman to use a pad and not use colored underwear. Because this is not a ketem anymore, because she had a hargasha.
So she had a hargasha.
So we know that it came out. So we're on a daraita level. So it doesn't matter. It didn't matter that it's colored, and it didn't matter that it's not a kabbal tumah. And it didn't matter how big it, none of those things matter. The only way to get her out of it now is to establish that it's not blood or that it came from somewhere else. That was the only way. Yeah, absolutely. She would also be recommended to either wear colored underwear or to wear a pad. And there's a reason to wear colored underwear because it will get rid of basically right away off the bat if you're machmir on pads, right? But if you're not machmir on pads, then the pad would be better because you could establish the color. Now, with all of this, just to reiterate, I kind of basically just said this. Actually, no, I didn't say it. There are two cases where you would be concerned. Number one, if she had hargasha. Number two, if she has a substantial flow. Right? Because we learned Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv said, that even without a hargasha, if she gets her period, then that's it. Now, how do you establish if she got her period? She didn't have a hargasha. So you could do the timing thing. But what happens if Lamaisa, she has a substantial flow, enough blood that you say, this is no longer just spotting. This is something else. And there's a potential that this is something that would make her an either for whatever reason, some kind of hormonal blood. So the question now becomes, well, what's a substantial flow? So interestingly, there's no shear for this recorded in the early post-skip. And on the books, technically, there's no shear even to today. It's interesting. In the Sefer Mesoras Moshe, you don't have it on the sheet, And the Sefer Masoras Moshe, which is a record of Rav Moshe's traditions from, it's not that one, oral traditions, he said, it's funny, in the notes that you're going to see later, it says, it's the size of a half dollar, an American half dollar, okay? Which is Rav Moshe Lishitasa using American currency. The problem is that when you write half dollar with a hyphen in between the half and dollar, what you're talking about is a coin, which is a half dollar, okay? Except that's not what he said. What he said is the size of half a dollar. Okay, so you take out a bill, and it's the size of a half dollar, which is, that's bigger than a coin. Okay, it's much bigger than a coin, and much more likely to call that a substantial flow. Now, what's interesting is that I looked up the art scroll, a half dollar coin is a silk.
There it is.
That's it. It's half dollar. They don't have it much. Not anymore. They don't make new ones. I don't think they make new ones. I mean, they might. So here's the thing, though. I looked up in the art scroll, and in art scroll, Reb Forst, so in the text, he says, there is no established shear. There's no established shear. Some say that it's a half dollar. So the mistake is in the art scroll. But it doesn't even say Rav Moshe. So maybe somebody else says it, but I don't think so. So the mistake is in the article. And in one place in the notes, he writes half dollar. And the other place, he writes a half of a dollar bill. So interesting. It's obviously a half of a dollar bill. There was a little bit of a hack about this on the Rabbi WhatsApp group. So that's how I got into this. So basically, Rav Moshe says a half of a dollar bill. But Rav Chaim Pinchas Steinberg, I don't often hear this, but Rav Chaim Pinchas Steinberg just says, there's no shear. It's just, and Ami, you like this? It depends on the timing. If you were expecting a period and she gets a substantial amount of blood, that's a period. If it's not during that time, then you can be making.
Is that accepted?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think that what? Without a hargasha. Without hargasha. Without hargasha. She's not expecting it. No, because now, no, Rav Steinberg is not only talking about during Shemini Nikiyim. It's a keter. She wakes up one morning and in the underwear she finds a lot of blood. Whatever. Who knows what happened? So Rav Steinberg basically says, well, if it was kind of like, you know, several days after she went to the mikvah, so then it's not going to be a menstruation, so ignore it. And Rav Moshe says, no, you can't ignore it. If it's a substantial amount of blood, then you have to be machmir. It's not clear what the shear is, but should bring that to a rabbi. Okay. Now we get to the toilet. Okay, so for this, you move over to, we're going to be moving to Kuf Tzadik Aleph. The truth is that the Gemara has a very long discussion, and very complicated discussion, about blood found during urination. Blood found during urination. The Gemara has a long discussion about this. Generally, the Gemara doesn't describe where it's found, but it's found blood that comes out during urination. And there are all kinds of factors that go into the discussion of the Gemara, whether she was standing or sitting, whether it was a strong stream or whether it drips, and whether it was found on the bowl or in the water. All different kinds of discussions. We're not going to get into that. We're just going to read Lamaisa. The Shulchan Aruch says in Kuf Tzadik Aleph, Seif Aleph, it just says, Ha'isha shishtina mayim v'yatsa dam im mei ragleha, that's urine, bein shishtina v'yomedet, bein shishtina v'yoshevet, hareizu torah. Doesn't matter whether she's standing or sitting. Standing or sitting, what it's about is that the Gemara understood that there is some, I was talking with Martin about this, aliyah or the bladder, there's some confusion about whether it's possible for the blood to kind of go in and out and in and out. But I'm not going to get into it. And then, because functionally, you shouldn't have your uterine blood. Uterine blood should not be found in urine. That shouldn't be happening because they come from different places. So the Gemara says that we're concerned in some situations, especially where she's standing, that the body may be configured in such a way that the blood goes in and out in some way and they end up getting mixed. That's what the Gemara gets into. The anatomy gets a little bit funky, but that's what the Gemara has. So the Shulchan Aruch says we're not concerned. And even if she has a hargasha, whatever feeling she has, that was really just the feeling of urination. She's got some kind of infection, and the blood that she found is in the urine from the ureter, urinary tract. Okay? So Shulchan Aruch is makel across the board. The Rama is not. Yesh omrim de'ein lahatira ela b'yoshevet b'hishtina aba b'omedet im b'kalechet l'toch ha'safel b'nim sajam dam tahura avayim shotitin osat. He gets into the whole back and forth. I'm not going to read the whole Rama, but he gets into the whole back and forth, and basically he says, and this is in the Taz Sif Katan Bet on the bottom of the page, he just says, Perush v'yoshevet u'b'omedet afilu toch ha'safel t'me'a d'minan t'lata l'tivuta yoshevet u'b'kalechet v'toch ha'safel. That in order to be makel, he says, you have to have three things. It has to be that she's sitting, and that it was a strong stream, and that it ends up inside of the toilet bowl. So not like on the side. In other words, it has to be clear that it came from the stream of urine and not that it dripped out of it. Okay. So the Rabbi is totally, it sounds like he's very mach. The shach, though, on this in Sif Katan Gimel, the shach on the right side, we're not going to read it, it's long, but basically,
why are those criteria to be made?
Those are required criteria to be made.
Yeah,
because he wants to make sure that the blood came from the stream of urine and it didn't drip out of her body. That's why. That's what's at issue.
It,
Good. We'll get to that in a minute. That's a good question. We're not going to read the whole thing inside. I'll just say it outside. The Shach, basically, he says that we treat it, when the Rama says we're machmir, does he mean we're machmir and it's nida daraita? Or does he mean we're machmir and we treat it like a ketem? Look, blood came out. I didn't have our gusha. Blood came out. And therefore, it's a ketem and we have to follow the regular rules of ketem. The Shach says, it's a ketem. Oh, so the Shach just opened the doors to be makel, right? The Rama sounded like he was super machmir. Anytime, basically, he says, the woman sees blood after she urinates, then we have to evaluate whether or not it follows these criteria, these new criteria. The Shach says, no. We can follow the old criteria, whether it's a ketem or not. So now what do we have to ask? So how do we treat this ketem? Is it the same as every other ketem? Excellent. Good. So Rav Avadia says if it falls in the water, then the discussion's over because it's a ketem. So we don't have to worry about it at all. But not everybody agrees. Take a look at source number 20, the Shevet HaLevi. He quotes the pre-de'ah. I meant to look up who the pre-de'ah is. I forgot. Pre-de'ah is tapek im dino ki ketem da'alma. Do we treat it as a regular ketem? In which case, for sure, the ta'or, k'shenim sa'adam r'shenim b'kabel tuma, it'll be ta'or because it's found in something that's not b'kabel tuma. Oh, da'acha k'ashashut fei dilma argesha v'savra argashat meraglaim. Or, do we have to be more machmir here? Because there's a chance, we learned this before, there was a hargasha and she missed it. She missed it because she was urinating. We said that there are situations where, remember the Beit Kishuv, we learned this, where we can forego the requirement of a hargasha because she might have been doing something else and she missed the hargasha, tashmish or urination.
Well, that's what
the Shulchan Aruch doesn't care. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't care. He says, if you're hargisha, we don't buy it. But the Rama is machmir. So the Prideya says, how machmir is he? Is he saying that this is even more than a ketem? Because maybe there was a hargasha? Or is he saying that no, it's a regular ketem? That's what he's worried. That's what he's concerned with. The nafkamina b'moshe beit hakiseh shelanu. Nafkamina is our bathroom, our toilet, because our toilet b'chubar lekarka made b'kabel tuma. Our toilets are attached to the ground; they're not b'kabel tuma. If we treat it as a regular ketem, like a regular ketem, then basically this whole thing falls apart. It either fell in the toilet, which is not b'kabel tuma because it's attached to the ground, or it fell in the water, which is not b'kabel tuma because it's water. Right? Even though it seems like it should be a ketem, that's what the Shach said, right? Rav Vassner says we have to be machmir we have to ignore certain aspects of the kulas of keter. We have to ignore the fact that it fell on something that's not makabel tumah, because obviously every time she goes on a toilet, it's not makabel tumah. Six story building, yes. Still attached to the ground. Yeah. Still attached to something which is attached to the ground, which is attached to the ground, which is attached to the ground. Yeah. So Rav Osler says we treat it as a super keter because there's a masked hargasha. So we have to be more concerned than usual. Normally, a woman finds it on her underwear. She has no idea how it got there, and she didn't feel any hargasha. How did it get there? We have no idea. So we treat it as a keter. But here, she went on the toilet. It could be that the answer to how it got there was that she actually had a hargasha and she missed it because she was urinating. That's the chumrah of the Shevet HaLevi. Rav Moshe, in the Besoros Moshe, Sover Abenu, Shem Ra'ata, Isha Dam, Acharat Alad, Meraglayim, Bein B'mayim, Bein B'kirot, Hasla, Machmirim Afilu B'mashu, Machmirim Bein B'yashma, O Anda Isha. Rav Moshe, Machmir all the way. It doesn't matter whether it's on the toilet or on the water. We have to be Machmir. Moshe Feinstein. This is orally. It's not written in the Egros Moshe. He does mention that if she experienced pain, and the Rama mentions this as well, by the way, if she experienced pain, then it's likely that it's really from the urinary tract, and she should see a doctor, and then that would invalidate her nidah status. In other words, then she'd be okay. But if she didn't experience any pain, or she just found blood, then she has to be concerned that it came from the makor.
This medical connection right there in terms of I see blood, forget the fact
we don't know when this is not during Shiva Nikiyam. This is any day of the week. It's possible that there was some kind of menstruation, it's possible. She finds it in the she found a little bit of blood.
Regardless of timing.
Yes, in the end, regardless of timing, because that's where it could come and work. But it's conceivable that something happened. Again, there could be any hormonal blood. We don't have any idea. That's where it could come and work. Right, so he's saying we're concerned for Agasha. So anytime that we are concerned for Agasha, because you were doing something that could have passed Agasha, yes, it's a chumrah. Yeah, so that's a chumrah that Moshe has. Does everybody agree with two things, two caveats to this? Number one, if she had some kind of pain, then we could possibly be told that on some kind of urinary infection, and she should get it seen by a doctor either way, and then she could be okay.
Well, what would be the status in between?
So Moshe would be machmir, the status in between. And the other way to be mekel, the which is interesting in terms of the airport question, is the Rama mentions another kula. He says near the eish lahatir bekolian in kol zeh nimtza dam b'mikra aval isha sheregiladi rot dam. He has two kulas. He has one kula that if the woman often sees dam in this situation, she often sees dam in her urine, then she can be told that. Then she can say, this is just my typical thing. I have some kind of issue. I always see dam in my urine. And she doesn't have to be machmir. And also he says that if someone else sat on the toilet right before her, then she could also be makel. Because it could have come from them. We'll get the hemorrhoids in a minute. Don't worry, hemorrhoids are coming. That's true. Source number 22, however, this is the saving grace. Emek Atshuva, this is Rabbi Cheskel Roth. He says, this whole thing is wild. Heo Delorov Aposkim Torah Lagamre, Dainu Laharosh, Vahatur. The Shach says Rabbeinu Chananu was machmir, and since kol dvarav divrei Kabbalah, that's what he says at the beginning of the Shach. We have to follow the Rabbeinu Chananu. He says v'ichi tach and amar diye od chamur mistam keter atma mashkadu. Excuse me. The kanye svara dehargasha the svara meiragaim. Inay be the cheshin laha ali be the ri imken ayatzarich liot tamei bidaraita. Rabbi Yossi, sorry. He says, if the Rama is right, that we really have to be machmir, that maybe there was a hargasha here, then the truth is we'd have to treat her as nida midaraita. And nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that we treat this as nida daraita. So the only thing we had was that the predeya said maybe we should be machmir or ketem and not worry about the fact that it's not a makabatum. Kitzer, the Emek Teshuva says no. He says toilets are not makabatum, the water is not makabatum. We don't have to worry about this. And many modern poskim rule this way. Rabbi Sobolovsky, one of the Rosh Yeshiva at NYU, in his book, he was makil this way. The art school is makil. The art school barely even sees as an issue. They say anything found on a toilet bowl or in the water of the toilet bowl, we can be makil. So the general psak that's given is to be makil on this and to ignore the toilet, except in one situation. What's that situation? Airplane. Why? Because the airplane. The toilet's not makubal al-kar. But you guys just brought up an interesting point, which is what? Yeah, the Rama mentions that if somebody had sat on this, I guess you would say that you might have, if the woman noticed blood after she sat down, then we probably would have noticed the blood before she sat down. So if you looked at the toilet bowl and saw. That's not where it gets. It gets on the side of the toilet bowl, right?
It's the same to see. You don't even see it.
It's filled down.
Yeah,
in principle, yeah. Yes, that is what we're saying. The toilet on the plane is Macabre. Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't see anybody mention that. But not that much written about this. I didn't see anybody mention it. But in theory, if she looked at it beforehand and she didn't get the blood, then you would say it has to be hers. It becomes a ketem. It has to be large enough. It has to be large enough. It has to be the right color. Yeah. So you can't measure the color. But she can say, I saw what it looked like.
It's not white, I mean,
color. In theory, she could wipe it, right, with the tissue and then bring the tissue, which we're going to get to. Actually, that's what we're going to get to in a minute. So, yeah, it would be tricky. I agree with you, it would be tricky. It would be very tricky. It's a good question. I don't know what makes it not Makubal al-Karka. I think it would still be because it's like the plane itself leaves the ground. It's the thing that makes the toilet not Makubal. Because they say this also, not only for a plane, but also a porta potty. Also a porta potty. They called it a spot a potty. In America, we call it a porta potty. What do you call it? What? What do you mean you don't have that? You don't have, there's a big event, so they bring toilet. We have porta pot. Right, exactly. I don't know what they call it in Israel. What? Pinin? Because of the chemical that. Okay. Correct. Well, yes, but that's more about the tissue. It's about both, you're right. It's more about the tissue, which we're about to do now. What about the tissue? What? Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, a tissue.
A ship.
I don't think it's before the cargo. I think it's like an airplane. That's why, for example, you know, hydroponics.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, what about a tissue? A woman wipes herself. She discovers blood, right? That would be the more prevalent case, right? How she's going to find it in the toilet bowl, I don't know. But find it on the tissue, that can happen. So Rav Avadia is going to say, no problem. It's tissue paper. Nothing. It's not Makabel Tuma. Follow the Shulchan Aruch all the way. We can be makel. But Rav Moshe, who says, no, there could be a mass hargasha here. We have to be machmir. It doesn't matter that it's not Makabel Tuma. She found blood. It doesn't even matter how much blood she found. It could be a little bit. There was a mass targasha here. So this is famous truth by Rav Moshe. This is what they teach the Kala teachers. Source number 23.
Yeah, it's not
it could be. It could be. Yeah. It could be. Right. So that has to do with the machloket and the Gemara about how we view. Well, yes. In theory, it should be full blown tumah, daraita, but nobody really says that. Rav Moshe is saying this is going to be a super ketam. We're not going to have the requirement of mekabel tumah, but it's still just a ketam. Nobody thinks that it's going to make it into full blown daraita. So this is the Rav Moshe that they teach in the college classes. I spoke with my wife about this, about what they teach and how they teach it, because. And she explained that the way that women go to the bathroom is so different from the way that men go to the bathroom that a lot of this is going to be far. There's going to be a shear here that's going to make no sense to you. It made no sense to me until I had explained. So here is what he says. He says, source number 23, Masha Marta Kafisha Shama Protorato, the Isha Shinata Dam Bikinuach, Da'achar Hatalat Meragla. Woman found blood while wiping herself after going to the bathroom. The Kshemihara Lekaneach. If she hurried to wipe herself, then it's a bedika. If she quickly cleaned, she quickly wiped herself, then that's a bedika. But if she didn't, then that's just a ketem. Like what? Like what's going on? For me, it was just like, what do you mean quickly, not quickly? Like what's going on here? What's happening? So he says, "Lo dibarti meinyan isha sherata dam b'shat asiyat tzorcheh," and he says, "I'm not even talking about a woman who sees blood while she's doing it." The pligi Rav Moshe, Rav Meir, Rav Yosi, b'matitin, who pligi Rav Matitin b'fi asugya b'mersh asugya b'miske alacha b'bar b'pratei daim dinim fi amavur b'shulchan aruch ama el b'dam sherata al kinuach achar asiyat tzorcheh. So now he says, "I'm not even talking about what she might have found while going to the bath." Now, that confused me even more. How is she going to find anything while she's going to the bathroom? Like, does that work? Why would that happen? So, let's keep going. Let's finish it. It's confusing. Kala meaning ended. When she finished, then it's possible that something came out. At any point from the beginning of this process to the end, there could have been hargasha that she missed. If she waits all the way until the end, until everything came out, even the last drops, then she wipes. Then she can treat it as a ketem, and then she doesn't have to worry about it. She doesn't have to worry about it because it's not mekabel tumah. Okay? Then she can treat it as a ketem. But if she wiped beforehand, then she can't. So I was confused. Why in the world would you wipe beforehand? Like what? So apparently. It's a thing. This is apparently something that, and she, my wife chided me. She said, "This is why it's a problem. You men, you all learn from books, and you don't learn from experience." And I said, "Excuse me." Yeah. And this, they said, they teach the women and in college classes. They say women have a tendency, apparently, to grab some of the toilet paper like early. Men don't do this. Grab it early and have it handy, and they may even do a little pre-wipe beforehand. Okay. Men don't do this. We don't wipe for urine anyways. But men don't do this, generally speaking. But women do. So the college teachers say, don't do that anymore. Don't do that anymore, especially during Shiva Nikim, when there could be issues and things like that. Don't do that. You wait until the end to grab the toilet paper. Okay? What? He does say, it's a bedika. I don't know whether he would say it's baraita kikulo, because Rav Buzner said the pre-idea was just going to be machmir, it's like a super ketem. He does, because he says that's the impetus to be machmir at all. The impetus to be machmir at all is because you're concerned that there was a hargasha during the urinary process. It should. If you want to say that Rav Moshe is machmir daraita, maybe. We don't have enough. That's what the Emek HaTshuva says. He says, if you're going to say that, then you should be machmir. But the Ramah is the one who came up with this. The Ramah didn't come up with this. The Ramah says maybe she had a hargasha, right? And so he says we're going to be machmir. And the Shach said when he says machmir, he means keter. So that's where it gets confused. You want to blame somebody? Don't blame Ramosha. Blame the Ramah and the Shach. Blame the Shach. Okay, because the Shach was the one who says even though the Ramah is machmir, it's only a keter. It's not daraita. Okay, so what comes out is that what Rav Moshe says is that for a tissue, you should wait until all the way to the end, and then wait a second, and then wipe. Because if you wait a second and then wipe, then you can always say, okay, that was not from the Hargasha, and therefore you could be makeup. That's what that little hefresh does. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach also is quoted as agreeing with Rav Moshe. On the other hand, now you have a super machmir opinion, which is a machmir opinion that you have to think about. This is actually something that makes a lot of sense. You have to think about this one. The Cheshev HaEfod, I don't know who the author is. Could have looked it up. Cheshev HaEfod says, Hinei, source number 24, Tamid aya pashut etzli, she'en al kinuach din ketem. He says, I don't think the wiping, the tissue, is a ketem. V'damanim sebe kinuach tamei kemo damanim sebe b'dika. You have to treat it as a b'dika. You have to treat a tissue as a b'dika. Even though it's not a kabbal tumah. Why? Vayisha tmeya. Beinim adam u pachod mikigris ba'od. Beinim ayed hu dabar shem kabbal tumah. O big nizimonim. You have to be machmir. Why? Sharei barur sheketem mikinimsa al dabar ha-kabbal tumah. Vayisha ha-evira misham ha-ketem al dabar shehenu ha-kabbal tumah. Shehen ha-ketem chozer liyot tahor b'shil zah. If you have a ketem on something that's makabbal tumah. Yes? You have a ketem on underwear. Okay, but you don't want to give the underwear to the rabbi, so you wipe it onto a tissue. Does that make it now dam that's on something that's not makabel tumah, and therefore, oh, it's a ketem. The rabbi gets it, he says, oh, it's a ketem on something that's not makabel tumah. You're all shaking heads. Why not? It's now on something that's not makabel tumah. The rabbi looks at it and he says, it's okay. It's not makabel tumah. Why? Because it's obvious that it came from something that originally was makabel tumah, right? It's obvious that it came from something that was makabel tumah. What? Okay, yeah. Okay. It's clear, right? It's clear. It came from something that's makabel. And everybody can agree with this logic. Yes? Okay, so he says, wait a second. B'dika kinuach lahadamya. That's what the tissue is doing. Kidam and nimsa b'kinuach. Where did it come from? Nimsa lemase bibsara. She wiped it directly from her body. B'makom shehu tameh. The Chesh HaEvod says, she wiped it off of her body, which means where was it? On her body.
Is there any that she had actually checked the paper before?
If you could come up with that idea, but the majority of toilet paper doesn't have red spots. It doesn't have that. It wasn't covered in blood. Okay.
What is the principle?
In principle. No, I don't think you can be told it that way, because now what he's talking about is this is a bedika. The tissue is now a bedika.
Every time a woman wants to
tell that's what he's saying. Yes, sir.
Really want to be blood, some body, and then when it
wants
to be
easy, right?
So the feces have a cancer. So what do they want to do? They take it
directly from.
So
presumably,
it's a urine valve.
Right. Right. Yeah, but that's not how it works when she wipes it off herself, because she wipes it off herself.
So why don't
she finds the blood. She finds it on her body. That the stool's in the toilet. She finds it on her body. No, it's urine. That's what we're talking about.
So I think
that makes sense. He makes a lot of sense to me. Makes a lot of sense. Unfortunately.
But it also makes a lot of sense in the fact that there's no thing that is
happening. Meaning as something that's not recoverable. Yeah, you're saying, no, that's not true. It's not true. That's not true, because what's the classic case of a ketan? No, that's the point, is that you don't know that it came from your body. It could have come from anywhere. You found the ketan, it could have come from anywhere. It could be a bug. You don't know how it got there. Yeah, you wiped it off your body. You know exactly where it came from. It came from your body. So the urine on the toilet bowl after, then he's not saying the same thing there. You could wonder why not, but he's not saying the same thing there. Once again, Lamaisa Remekel. Lamaisa Remekel, not like this. It's a very good argument, though, in my opinion, the Cheshire Eifot. The Chut Shani, on source number 25, that's from Nisikarats, he says, this is why, she shouldn't look at it. She just shouldn't look at the tissue. Just avoid this whole thing. Don't look at the tissue. Miyad, tashlichu, lifnei, shetistakelbo, umikamakam, imistaklabo, minitorela, something, asura, ajitavarat, something. If you look at it, then you have to be vary the suffering. Now, we may not agree with that, but he said, teach the women, they should just throw it away. Now, this is very interesting, right? Because Rav Nissim Karelitz is essentially saying it is a problem. That's why she should throw it away. Right. So Dan is saying, what? What do you mean? When do we ever say that in halakha? Oh, it could be a problem, so just don't look at it. Ignorance is bliss. When do we ever say that? It's weird. What? Okay. The Kohen is the one who does it. So, it's not actually. But if you get everything out, right, retroactively, it doesn't make everything cover. Right, but this would theoretically make everything neither. So it's a little bit different. And here, you're basically ignoring it. The Kohen at least shows up at some point. Here, you're flushing it down the toilet. It's gone. It's amazing, right? So the answer is that, as he pointed out, that this is a machlokas. It's a machlokas. So since there are so many different opinions over here that are makil, that's the only reason why we can be makil over here. As I mentioned, YU in general is makil on this, or Sobolovsky is makil. He quotes all the YU Rabbeim is makil on tissues. I think the article is also totally makel on tissues. Rav Avadi is makel on tissues. Shulchan Aruch is makel on tissues. But certainly the Cheshev Eifot is something to reckon with, in my opinion. It seems very interesting. At least something to think about. Okay. We have 10 minutes. I wanted to start at least colored material. Wow. So much that we didn't do. Okay. In theory, we have 2 shiurim to finish this section. Okay. So let's start colored material. I think we can actually do colored material. Okay, Kalev Matilda, source number 25. Number 26. Source number 26. Tana Rabbana. Beged Savua Metame Mishum Ketem. Rabbi Natan Bar Yosef Omer, Eru Metame Mishum Ketem. Shalot Tiknu Big Day Sivonim Isha. Hello, Haki Al Kitman. Rabbi Natan Bar Yosef says, what are you talking about? We only allow women to wear colored undergarments because we want to protect them from Tamim. That's why they wear colored garments. They wear colored underwear so that if spotting gets on the colored underwear, we don't have to look at it. That's the whole point. That's what we do. So now, who wants to guess? Why does colored garments save you from a ketem? You can't really see it properly. Rashi says, she'ain a ketem nikar bo kemare dam gamor. Because you can't tell that it's mamash dam. For a lot of reasons. Maybe you can't tell it against the background. Maybe the garment itself changes the color of the ketem. There are lots of reasons why it would work like that. And the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud, as we read before, Sif Yud and Kuf Tzadik, at the end of that siman, Sif, he says, V'chein ketem shenimsa al beged tzavua tohora. Any color except for off-white. That's source number 27. Thank you, Ivan. Source number 27. Lo chilku aposkim be'ezet tzav mitzil. Matzil miktamim. There's no difference between other green colors. The kol tzeva matzil ba'afilu shachor. Even black, obviously black. Ubeged betzeva ba'hir mod kigon off white. Yesh la'achmir shadino klavan. However, off white is going to be machmir. Yes, machmir. You can have a fight with women about what off white is. Is this off white? But okay, you figure it out. If you can see clearly what color it is, then it's not a tzeva. And they're just the Rama, as we saw quickly before. The Rama mentions Levichach Tilbasha Isha Big Day Tzivonim Kedei Latzila. This is why women should wear colored undergarments in order to save them from Tamim. As we learn, though, there's a reason to wear pads instead. But this is why they should wear colored undergarments. The chukat tara is the colors thing that we just read. Again, the colored undergarments are only going to help if there was no flow. If there was a flow, what?
Or hargasha.
Hargasha or a flow will make the colored undergarments useless, right? Because, in fact, worse than useless, because you can't even look at the color. If you had a, here, let me do this way. Just a rewind. If you have a, what? Yeah, it's only done for a kata. If there's an actual flow or a hargasha, actually, no, look, if there's a hargasha, the Rama already told us, if there's, the Shulchan Aruch says, if there's a hargasha and there's no blood to be found, what's the halakha? You have to be machmir. Because the Truma Tadeshit says, it could be that something came out and we didn't find it. However, we didn't make this clear last time. If there was a hargasha and you found something, no matter how small, and it was not blood, then we can be mako. She's not nida. Okay? Because you identified what came out when there was hargasha, and it wasn't blood. So where kind of argon it shoots you in the foot. Because you can't say for sure that it's not blood. And if you can't say for sure that it's not blood, then you can't be mako. But it's a garaita level. Since it's on the garaita level, you'd have to invalidate it. You'd have to say it's not blood in order to be mekel. Then it could be mekel. Then you'd have to be able to look at it. That's why colored undergarments helps, because you can't say that it's blood. Okay. What if it was on a colored garment? Okay, here. What if it was on a colored undergarment and then it got on something white? So there's two cases like this. One is covered in number 28. Number 28, the Chokuzman says, Haya ketem al gabe davar she'eno mekabel tuma ot sabula. This is the question that we asked before, you remember? Where it got on the underwear and then it got on something else? It got on underwear that was colored. V'kinachto v'davar lavan mekabel tuma. What do you do? It got on the underwear and then you wiped it on something that is white, excuse me, and mekabel tuma. So this is the reverse of the tissue case, right? It got on colored underwear, and then you wiped it onto white underwear, something, okay? A towel, good, perfect, a towel, thank you. A white towel. So what do you do? Torah, why Torah? So I think you guys said before you thought that it should be Tameh, right? Because you're identifying that at the end of the day, you wiped it off of the colored undergarment, and now it's on white undergarment, and you're saying that it's, right? So he says Torah, why? The visa in the footnote, simply, Don, what is the reason? Historical reasons. It's not Makabal Tumah, game over. Blood gets on something, it's not Makabal Tumah. I don't care where it gets to afterwards. We stop looking. It doesn't matter if it gets onto something that is Makabal Tumah afterwards. It's game over. You don't have to worry about it. But. No, the Tzavua invalidated the ketem right away. Then it got onto something that's makabel tuma and white. We don't care. Right. No, it doesn't matter why. Because it was not a ketem to begin with, like Don said. So it didn't fit into the laws of ketem. Low guys are by that. Okay. but here's a different one. Here's a more complicated one. Rav Avadia Yosef and the Yabia Omer and the Tzitz Eliezer both cover this case. Says, what happens if you have a garment, okay, which is colored on the inside, but it's double layered, and there's a second layer, which is white? Happens. Can happen. Okay, bathing suit, that's a good example. Well, bathing suit is going to probably be impermeable, but let's say you have something that it's absorbent, right? There's a colored absorbent part and then a white under part, like a pad, yeah? Like a pad, but colored on the inside. Yes. So Rav Avadia says we have to be machmir. Why though? Because it happens immediately, because it doesn't happen through a transfer. The blood seeps through and gets to the white. So it happens immediately. So there you have to be machmir. So that would be a case where it would go from color to white and you'd have to be masculine. No, because that's not mekabel tumah, the pad. If it would seep through the pad into white undergarments, yes, you have to be machmir. Not surprising. Well, that's this. It seeped through directly and didn't just get wiped off after time. Because what's going on, by the way, here is a rationale, right? Once the blood went onto the colored garment, if you wipe it off with something else, that means by definition it was separated in time. Okay? So there's always a chance that it was a bug that went on there or something else, somehow other way the blood got there. But here you have no chance like that. Okay? We have 1 minute left. I just feel like the Rabbi Kiva Eger that we learned in the beginning with the checkered. Yeah, the checkered. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, you can read it yourself. He basically says that it depends. If the ketem crosses over the sections and the substance on all the white boxes is larger than a gris, then you have to be machmir. But if it's not larger, meaning the blood on the white sections is less than a gris combined, then you can be makel. You don't count the red in between. In other words, he's in between. He says, we don't count the red in between. We don't count the stuff on the colored part of the undergarment, but it is mitzaref. The blood is mitzaref between the white boxes. So that's what he says. There are those that argue, some that are more machmir, some that are more makel. The article actually quotes a very makel opinion that says we just ignore the whole thing. But Rabbi Kiva Eger, he quotes Neil Tzedakah, and that's what he thinks. He thinks that we have to just evaluate the dam on the white part of the garments. Okay? Shakach! Great job. Okay, next time we're going to finish Kuf Tzad. The Arskol, two volume Halachos of Nida by Rav Horst. There are several modern day Kitzur Svarim. The Arskol has a two volume one. Rav Shimon Eider has a one volume one. And YU, Rav Sabalovsky's notes are another one.